May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good. Now you're listening, I'll start. This morning we hear a lot about sin. If anyone causes little ones or believing me to sin, better that a millstone were hung round his neck, also should be say her as well. It applies to both. So sin. Well, the first thing that struck me about this reading, about this gospel, is those disciples who come running up to Jesus, complaining that somebody is stealing their thunder. Somebody is muscling in on their act. John says to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." Just imagine it. The comments. "How dare he? On our patch. We have to keep a closer eye on this lot." They'd be telling people to love one another next. Well, that's how it goes in my imagination anyway. How Jesus might have reacted to some of those comments. And it's not so that different today, is it? In the church's hierarchical organisation, not the local church, I hope, they have many rules and regulations. It will probably come up somewhere in Canon B84, Section 25, Subsection 11C, rules as to casting out demons when not a recognised follower. You know the sort of thing, don't you? You see from the church's hierarchy. Well, we've got to keep a tight rein on these sort of things, don't you know? Got to keep things under control. That's our job as a church. And there's this chap doing it without bishop's permission or without a license, casting out demons. Now, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm sure this is how some people, even regular worship, see the Church of England. So in response, what we've got to do is to emphasise the human face of the church. The church is people, not a set of rules and regulations. If we can begin to get that message across, then maybe in the minds of non-attenders or people on the fringes, then we might start to get through to people in our community. And perhaps people wouldn't criticise the church as often. Remember what Jesus said in verse 40 of that gospel. Whoever is not for against us is for us. And then again in verse 42, it says something of the church, of the people, at a more local level, that might determine whether people would return after a first visit. He says, if any of you causes one of these little ones to sin, it would be better if you had for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and then thrown into the sea. But just let's pause for a moment and think what he might mean by these little ones. We ultimately accept that it's probably children, but perhaps it's those people who come to the church for the first time, those in whom belief has just been awakened and now seeking to explore and strengthen, to grow in faith from where they begin, has been small in little faith, been little ones in the faith, if you like. People who seek faith like a child. Now, we may not place stumbling blocks or barriers in their way as they seek God in our churches, but I doubt if many Christians would. But perhaps there are stumbling blocks to new seekers which we don't see. So although we may not physically place stumbling blocks in the way, we may equally be guilty of not removing some which have always existed. So let's just imagine somebody who's having felt a call to join a congregation, to go to church, start exploring their newly discovered faith. First, they've got to find out when and where to come. So perhaps imagine or think back to when you yourself started going to church. How did you find out what to do, where to go? Well, the notice sheet is one source. But again, if you don't come to church anyway, you won't have a notice sheet to look at. So perhaps a notice sheet. If you've got taken yours over and you've read it, perhaps post it through somebody else's letterbox. Might just spark something, you never know. Magazines in some churches are good reminders of what happens in church. And it's not just for the benefit of insiders or people who come to church all the time. In fact, quite the opposite. The magazine is quite a valuable mission tool. It's the church's shop window. Perhaps more popular is the church notice board. And what do people find there? Unless you worked as a code breaker for MI5, there were little help there at some churches. I'm happy to say at least we have reasonably simple notice boards here, with sufficient and succinct information. But some churches, it's a real challenge to find out what's happening. Let me give you an example. This is at St. Lukewarm the Bewildered. Sunday services, 8 a.m., said Holy Communion, Common Worship Order 2, traditional form, except second Sunday when it's said Matins, fifth Sunday BCP, or sung, or first and third Sundays, and services sung with hymns, fourth Sunday with homily. That's just the first service. 10:30, Parish Eucharist, said with hymns, Common Worship Order 1, contemporary form, except second Sundays, or well, it's all age worship, fifth Sunday, full song BCP, or fourth Sunday, holy baptism. That's the morning services. Then we go to St. Tracy's, our daughter church. 6:30 p.m, even song, said with hymns, except third Sunday, when healing praise incorporated, or last Sunday in the month, when it's monthly praise service. This time changes to 3:30, when British summer time ends. Seen something not very far from that, but it does happen. So I wonder how many of us sat down now in the chairs, us regulars, have thought of notice boards as stumbling blocks. I think one of the best I ever read was quite simply, "Welcome. This church worships together 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. Please join us." Nothing else, just that. That's all you need to start coming to church. You find out what happens when you get there, but at least it might bring people in. Curiosity is a very good tool for getting people into church. Even when we've got people through the door, we must be careful not to load them up with so many things that they need a shopping trolley. A warm welcome and sometimes help to follow the service can be very helpful in making that first time in church a happy experience. And that's what we want to give people. A happy experience that they're going to come back and enjoy again. As I mentioned earlier, even though we may not deliberately be placing stumbling blocks in their way, we need to be aware that some may need to be removed. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, why should we encourage people to come to our churches and make them as open and welcoming as possible? Well, it's quite simple. It lies within ourselves. Something I want to take you to take away with yourself, to ask yourselves today some simple questions. First of all, why do I come to church? Secondly, what do I get out of it? And thirdly, what does my faith give me? All variations, perhaps on the same subject, but we're asking, what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ. And why it's so important is that we should, once we realise what it means to us ourselves, to share that with others. Perhaps we might enthuse other people to come to church. What part of coming to church does it play in our inner conviction that we call faith? And it can be found in the other reading we had for this morning, the epistle reading from St. James. Basically, we exist as a church to support and encourage one another. As St. James tells us, to pray for the sick and encourage them to come for healing and anointing, which is a growing ministry in the church of today. We must meet together to build one another up and to praise God through songs of praise, through prayer, and through listening. We come to confess our sins, to listen to others in confidence and compassion. And finally, to bring back those who have wandered from the truth. You may have heard many earnestly proclaim that they believe in God, but they don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I'm sorry, but you do. You can't do any of the above unless you're already part of a worshipping family, a congregation, the church, that is. Should we need any other reason for encouraging friends, families or neighbours to come to church this or any other Sunday, then we could have no less a direct and straightforward answer than our Lord's words in verse 40 of today's Gospel. And he says there, whoever is not against us is for us. Amen.